Hey, Robin.
Hi, Anna. Welcome to our next episode of the Good Kids, Better World podcast, talking about things that all relate to raising good kids who will make a better world.
Yep, that's what this podcast is all about, trying to raise and care for good kids. Our regular listeners may already know this by now, but just in case, let's say again what we mean when we say good kids.
That's a good idea. It's always worth repeating. We say a good kid speaks up, speaks out, and notices injustice. A good kid cares about their family, their school, their friends, and their community. A good kid is learning to be anti-racist, feminist, inclusive of all genders, identities, sexual orientations, and abilities. And above all, a good kid is striving to make a better world. And as always, we're going to use some guiding principles or values to frame it. Today's episode is going to be about charity.
And you're telling us a story about charity, right?
I am. So I teach kindergarten and first graders at my synagogue every Sunday. And a few times during the year, the whole school gets together to work on a charity project. And sometimes it's a food drive. One time it was making sleeping mats for people experiencing homelessness. Another time we put together soup kits for people who were sick and homebound. So a few years ago, the kids spent the morning packaging up individual pairs of winter socks into little like cellophane bags and making cards to go with them that said something about keeping warm or something. And when we were done, the director of the program and I were brainstorming where we could send all these socks. And I had a brilliant idea. So it was the fall of 2017 and Hurricane Maria had just torn through Puerto Rico. I remember that there were news stories about how not enough people were donating down there or helping them out. And I think that was the time that the president was photographed tossing rolls of paper towels at people whose homes had been decimated. And I was like, oh, Puerto Rico, we'll send the socks to Puerto Rico. So I took the whole bin of them into my trunk and I planned to send them. I didn't actually know where or how to send them, but I definitely felt like I would do it, but I didn't. I drove around with them in my car for an embarrassingly long time because almost immediately after I took the bin, I realized that sending warm winter socks to a tropical island was about as tone deaf as throwing rolls of paper towel at people who didn't have clean water. It made no sense. So I thought I was doing something awesome by giving charity to people who weren't getting enough, but it's actually not actually helpful when your charity makes you feel good, but doesn't address a real need. And so eventually I had to face the fact that my idea was kind of dumb. And I brought the socks back to the synagogue to figure out a more useful place to donate. And the whole experience reminded me not only of the importance of giving, but the importance of paying attention to the needs of others and prioritizing those over my own.
Oh, that's a really great story. I think that we often, when it comes to charity and donations, we so simply think about, oh, we'll give it to this place. You know, we were just talking to my daughter about this. She had this idea of where she wanted to give all these things. And we said, we don't know if that place needs those things. And it's a burden for them if you give them things they don't need. And it's so important when we think about true charity to really think about what's needed and what's going to really help people the most. I'm really excited that we have a great guest joining us today to talk about charity. But before we welcome her, you know what time it is, right?
It's time for some fun. So, since we're talking about charity in this episode, I've collected some information about three celebrities who have given time and or money to various causes and organizations. I'll tell you three true things about them as if I am them, like in the first person. And then you see if you can guess like who I am, quote unquote, like who am I being? Are you ready?
This is going to be hard for me.
You can do it. I think you can do it. I don't know. It's hard, but
I don't know about celebrities.
I know. You sort of live under a rock, but let's try it anyway.
Okay.
Okay. Here's the first one. I grew up in rural Mississippi. I've contributed to causes like Time's Up, N Street Village, and the Museum of African American History and Culture. And I've contributed over $140 million to my Leadership Academy for Girls. Am I Delta Burke of Designing Women, Oprah Winfrey, or Britney Spears?
Oprah Winfrey.
Yes, 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 yes. Okay. Next one. I am a spokesperson and donor for the National Women's History Museum. I funded the Writers Lab, a screenwriters lab for female screenwriters over 40. And I created Silver Mountain Foundation for the Arts with my husband, Donald Gummer. Am I Halle Berry, Scarlett Johansson, or Meryl Streep?
Well, I don't know who that husband is, so I'm going to guess Meryl Streep is married to that person I don't know.
It is Meryl Streep. I thought you might know because her daughter is Mamie Gummer. Not
no. Okay. But Meryl Streep is an awesome feminist, so that makes sense.
Yeah, she's a good one. Okay, last one.
Okay.
I co-founded Survivor Foundation with Kelly Rowland to support victims of Hurricane Katrina. I'm a co-founder of Chime for Change, a platform designed to empower women and girls through education, health, and justice. And I served as an ambassador for the 2005 World Children's Day, releasing the single Stand Up for Love to benefit the cause. Am I Pink, Rihanna, or Beyonce? I'm going to give you a hint. I'm going to add a word in that's going to help you. I co-founded Survivor Foundation with fellow Destiny's Child member Kelly Rowland to support victims of Hurricane Katrina.
Well, it's got to be Beyonce. Yes,
Beyonce, nice job.
Oh, I know so many things.
You do. You knew a couple, two-ish things.
Okay, well, I always love it when you embarrass me in front of our listeners. That's truly a treat every time.
I think you do love it. You love it a little.
A little.
A little.
Well, I just want to remind everyone about how we're using themes and values in this podcast. So as you know, we build our episodes around a Jewish value that embodies the lessons and ideals we want to transfer to our kids, and we frame them in a Jewish way because Robin and I are both Jewish. But we all know that values our values. And the value of charity is a basic human value. So whether you're using the Hebrew word for it, tzedakah, in this case, or not, it doesn't really matter. But before we welcome our guest, Robin, can you explain a little bit more about how we understand tzedakah?
Tzedakah is defined as charity, which can mean monetary donations, but can also mean acts of charity. And it's typically seen as a moral obligation. So even if you don't have very much, one is still expected to give even a very small amount of money or time to someone with less. The word comes from the same root as tzedek or justice, which is one of the values we actually already talked about on this podcast. So while all donations and volunteerism is good, true tzedakah means applying that charitable action toward causes that enable or further justice.
That's a really helpful way to understand it. I love that those two words are so tightly woven together in Hebrew. And it ties into your story as well about understanding what charity is really about and who it's for. And it's not about the person giving, but it's truly about the people who are receiving. And while charity or tzedakah is often thought about in terms of donating money, we also know that it doesn't always have to be necessarily about money. So there's so many ways to give toward making the world a more just place. And I am really excited to welcome our guest to talk more about that with us.
Our guest today is Michelle West, owner of Bittersweet Kitchen, an amazing restaurant in Media, Pennsylvania. And while their stuffed French toast and creme brulee pancakes do make the world better, that's not exactly what we're talking about today. Michelle really gets the concept of tzedakah and walks the walk every day. So Michelle, welcome to Good Kids, Better World podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So I know that one of the reasons you wanted to open a restaurant in the town where you live was so not only that you could feed people more brunch, but so that you could have a space that could support the community. Can you tell us about some of the fundraising or charitable events that you've hosted at Bittersweet as a way of giving back to your community?
Sure. Yeah, that was definitely always part of the vision of having the restaurant, was that we could use the space in lots of creative ways for both art and fundraising and community building. And definitely one of the ways we've done that is we've had some fundraising events for Making a Change group in Chester City. and for La Puerta Abierta, which is a group that provides no-cost trauma-informed care for immigrant youth. And we also have done some fundraising for Domestic Abuse Project of Delaware County. And those are all organizations that were meaningful to us because they support people in marginalized communities that are very close to us. And I think that one of our ideas about both, like about charity, is for us, charity is most meaningful when it's micro local. So we really like to support organizations that are working right in our town, right in our community. And we've also done some things like we've invited people running for office to come and do meet and greets at Bittersweet. We had a talk at the restaurant about equity and education and about what that really means. That was really great. So I feel like it's been cool to kind of gather people together with purpose. It's sort of like an obvious extension of running a business in a town to me. There's a responsibility if you are making money in a town to sort of put money back into the community. There's a million different times a year when Rose Tree Media and Wallingford Swarthmore School Districts are doing cool events and ask for donations. But we try to be super mindful of the fact that media is very, very, very close neighbors with Chester City. And we really think of Chester City as part of our community, and they're a very much neglected part of our county. And we have a lot of employees who come from Chester City to work at Bittersweet. And pretty much anyone running a business in Delaware County has relied on Chester City labor. So I feel really strongly that we owe Chester City, we owe it to them to reinvest in making improvements in the experience that children have growing up there.
So we have some people who are listening who might not be in the greater Philadelphia area. So can you just give us a quick snapshot about what Chester, in fact, I don't know much about Chester City because I'm not originally from here. So just tell us, sure, a little bit about the difference between these two communities.
Sure. So Chester City and Media, where I live and where my business is, are both in Delaware County. It's a relatively affluent county outside of Philadelphia. And that sort of wealth was not shared with Chester City. And Chester City has dealt with poverty for many years. Their businesses that are there that are wonderful really could use support from people from more affluent communities. Not to say the businesses aren't, there aren't businesses that are thriving in Chester without that, but businesses need support.
So charity or giving to your community is something that your family holds as a personal value also, right?
Yes, for sure.
How does that play out with you and your kids? Like, how do you give in ways that specifically work toward justice?
It's a good question. And actually, like, I find it challenging sometimes. I'm always really wary of a lot of opportunities that I see for young people to participate in works of charity, where I feel a lot like it's sort of holding up other people's experiences and saying, seeing how other people experience life is a chance for you, privileged child, to be grateful for all the advantages that you have in your life. And sometimes that feels really wrong to me. It feels bad to me to use other people and specifically other children's lives to make this sort of judgment, like these folks are disadvantaged, you're advantaged. Like it feels sometimes uncomfortable to me. And so I often, when we're looking for opportunities for our young people to do charitable work, a lot of times I don't really want them to do work where they're serving others. So I look more for opportunities where they're working alongside people. I would like to continue to work on creating those opportunities, but we have found some chances to do things like that. And a great organization that we volunteered with before the pandemic is Kids Against Hunger Philadelphia. And that felt good to me because that program is, first of all, one of the things I really like about the program is that they distribute backpacks filled with nutritious meals to families in schools that they've partnered with. The schools they've partnered with have said, this is a need that we have. We notice our students are facing food insecurity and we would like support with that. And every single child in the school receives a backpack and goes home on the weekend with a backpack full of meals. And that just right there feels like an organization I want to support. You can go, the whole family can participate, children of all ages can participate. And even, you know, my then I think maybe 5-year-old was able to participate, weighing out lentils and beans, sealing the packages. And so that was really a great opportunity. Chester City Sweeps, we did participate in. We worked with volunteers who both were from inside and outside of Chester City to clean up a particular street. And that was really an exciting thing because we just really felt like the community was really appreciative, but also participants. You know, it felt like a really collaborative project. And I went to find opportunities to interact with people, not where they're in a position of like helpers, but where they're in a position of collaborators. And I think that's really key in charity that's geared towards justice, because it's very easy to fall into the sort of white savior helper role and see yourself as, you know, rescuing someone. And it's, you can quickly, first of all, lose sight of the humanity of the person you're rescuing, because it becomes sort of a pretty self-indulgent act sometimes, I think. Also, it doesn't always go well. So I sort of had an experience where I, you know, thought I was going to rescue someone, and I did made a big effort and enlisted a lot of helpers and kind of just really threw a lot of money and resources into helping someone who was definitely a vulnerable person in a very difficult situation. But it turned out that she ended up really hating me. And it turned out that I think I didn't pay enough attention to what actually the help that she actually was in a position to really receive and the things that she really wanted and needed in her life. And I think I was more focused on having a success story. So I think that it can be dangerous.
I have so many things I want to say. I mean, it's such a helpful frame, Michelle. I'm really grateful that you shared about how you think about charity and charitable acts with your children. I think for folks like us who have, you know, white skin privilege and who live relatively affluent lives, it is so easy to fall into this white saviorism, to fall into, you know, I've heard things about poverty tourism, you know, where you go and visit places and stare. It's the opposite of the kind of charity that we are talking about today, right? This idea of charity because of equity. I have more and others have less, and we need to make a more equitable society where people have what they need. And that's not about deciding what I should give that's going to make me feel good, but about really understanding where the injustice is and how we can make a more equitable place. It's really an incredible way of looking at it. And I think it's especially challenging with children to find productive opportunities like that that are also appropriate for them.
There's a lot of opportunities for young people to do charitable work that maybe has that feeling of like, ooh, like send your cast off toys, or oh, like collect, you know, some canned goods. And not to say that people don't need you know, that there's not times when that's an appropriate thing to give, but I do think that we really have to just keep in mind the equal humanity of all the people in the world.
Yeah. So Michelle, it's no secret that the pandemic was and continues to be really hard for small businesses, especially restaurants, right? And Bittersweet, I'm sure, was no exception. But even through all that hardship and uncertainty, you were still able to continue giving and facilitating giving all year. Can you tell us an example of how you were able to keep yourselves afloat while still giving back to the community?
Yes, it was a very challenging year, and I feel very grateful to have survived and to be on the other side of it. It's very interesting because I definitely felt uncomfortable in the beginning of the pandemic, when I recognized that I was going to be someone very much in need of other people's help. And it was a very powerful experience to be humble about needing help as someone who it was like a little bit of a reckoning for me, because I thought, oh, wow, I really prefer being a helper and being seen as someone who helps. Wow, that's really interesting. Like, what is my judgment about people who need help? You know, people were really going above and beyond to keep us afloat. You know, Robin bought a bunch of gift cards from the restaurant and organized these really fun trivia nights and used the gift cards to Bittersweet as prizes as a way to support us and also provide some, you know, cheer to the community and just like a fun event when we were all feeling like there wasn't very much fun to be had. So that was really awesome. And I felt so grateful. And I had friends, like high school friends, who were calling up and just saying like, let me just, I have a gift card. I was like, are you going to come to Bittersweet and spend the gift card or whatever? And so people were just super generous to us. So then we decided that we were going to sell meals. We were going to offer the opportunity to buy healthcare workers meals. So people could call and give $10. And if for every $10, we would send a meal, we would deliver a meal to someone at Chester Crozier Hospital or Riddle. And we contacted people at both of those hospitals, friends of ours. Then people from other hospitals started reaching out. We ended up doing a delivery to Einstein. We did a couple of deliveries to Jefferson. People, it was so crazy. So the first time I posted it on Facebook, I wrote this thing up that we were going to do this. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is really kind of awkward. I said in my description, to be clear, this is not us doing charity. You will be buying food from us. We will be making money from this. This will help us, but we also think it might, you know, be really a cheerful thing for some healthcare workers. And so so we said our goal was to raise $500 and deliver 50 meals. And I think the first night we raised $2,500, or I'm saying raised, it wasn't raised. People gave us $2,500 to send meals. It was crazy. It went on for months. People kept giving us money. Some people made it a weekly donation or a weekly contribution. And so we sent 1,100 meals to healthcare workers during the pandemic. So that wasn't charity, but it was definitely, people said to us that they felt that it gave them an opportunity to sort of do something charitable. I don't know if I would call that charity, but it was definitely a great thing. But what I realized...
Wait. It actually is charity. I'm going to interrupt because I remember talking to you about this at the very beginning, and you were so concerned that it was going to be perceived as donating something when actually people were paying you to make the food. But the facilitation of getting the food to people in the health, you know, frontline workers who were feeling, you know, really pressed and really overworked and scared, facilitating that. I mean, I couldn't, you know, it's not like any single person really could be like, I'm going to deliver 1,100 meals. You know, you were crucial. Bittersweet was crucial in that process. And so although you weren't donating money, I think it's important to recognize that charity isn't money. Charity isn't always, I mean, it can be money, but it isn't always money. And it isn't always a donation of time. Sometimes it is that, like, you know, inserting yourself to facilitate something, to make something happen. And so I, even though I totally recognize where you're coming from, I want to just clarify that it's another example of charity, even though it happened to help you at the same time.
I want to really echo Robin in that, because first of all, Robin and I, as you know, both work for a nonprofit. And so we literally get paid to do charity. So I must say, I think that we do charity, even though we're getting paid to do it. And I want to say, for so many of us, it's not always clear how to be helpful. I believe most people would like to be good people and do good things in the world. And it's not always clear how to get that done. And when somebody comes along and says, come this way, I have a way you can help. And goodness knows, during the pandemic, especially those early days, none of us knew how we could help. I mean, there were all these people on the front lines who were working themselves just to the literal ends. And we didn't know how to help. We couldn't show up and just help, you know, we weren't allowed to do that. And so what an amazing act you did by both keeping your business afloat, which helps your family, it helps your community based on all the things you were just talking about earlier in the episode, and also gave space to others to jump in a way they weren't sure how to do. I think it's really powerful.
A lot of people expressed that to us, and that felt really good. Like, a lot of people reached out and said, thank you for giving me somewhere to put this money, or like some way to put money towards the feelings of gratitude that I have for people on the front lines right now. So I do appreciate that. I guess I appreciate that. And so also with our work with Making a Change Group, we were able to send a lot of meals to folks who were having some food insecurity, and we collect local businesses. Like, I rallied some other local businesses, including Andy Fernandez at Plank Fitness. And we were able to raise some money together, and then he got involved in raising money for Making a Change to send meals and recreation kits to families. And then really, really fun thing that we did was Making a Change provides mentoring to young people in the Chester Upland School District. It provides resources to families, community building, community support, connects families with services they might need. And it's just an awesome organization. And so they were doing Zoom events during the pandemic to just build community, have some fun, get people online. So we got involved. We did two Zoom cooking events with them where our chef Tony cooked meals. We raised money to buy all the groceries for 50 families to have cooking classes via Zoom. And then our chef Tony, who is from Chester City, did these two awesome, really, really fun Zoom events that they had. Making a Change had a DJ involved. There was like dance breaks. There were prizes. It was super awesome. So that was another cool event that we did during the pandemic.
So, Michelle, when you were talking about the beginning of the pandemic, you talked about realizing that you were going to be a person who needed help and how hard that was. And I was thinking about, even before you told that story, as we began this episode, using this word in English, charity, brings with it this kind of negative weight in America. I think in our society, we use that in a derogatory way, like a charity case, even though it should be something very positive and it should be something that we all do. So I just really wanted to raise up and not lose that each of us at different times might be the recipient of or the giver of the charity, and how essential it is in a society that's broken and needs help in becoming more equitable and just.
I totally agree. And we talked a lot about that. We talked a lot about that with our kids, because I think it's important. Again, I just have this very squeamish feeling sometimes about the word charity. And I think my discomfort comes from the fear I have of being guilty of white saviorism. I definitely am cautious about that. I might have that tendency. So I watch for it, and I'm wanting to raise my children's awareness of it too. So when I was having all these realizations about myself and about how I was needing to sort of overcome this discomfort, I talked about it with my kids and said, we need help. Our family needs help. Our business needs help to stay afloat. And a lot of people in our community, I feel like we've touched a lot of people in different ways. And now a lot of people are going to help us. And that's just how it works when it works the way it's supposed to, right? That we can all lean on our communities when we need to. And it was a really positive experience for me to receive help and to really practice gratitude for it. And I feel like sometimes even like the word humble or the word gratitude, I feel like those are such hashtags that also I can be find cringe, a little cringy or feel uncomfortable with. And then I had this experience this year where I was really brought to my knees in many ways. And I really appreciate those words differently at the end of this long year than I did before. I really truly feel what it means to be humbled and in a positive way, and to learn something about humility and graciously accepting help when it's extended, and to really feel gratitude about it just existing, like just still being in business and still being in this community. I feel tremendously thankful because I think it became clear that it wasn't a given. And I think I've lived a very privileged life where I've taken it for granted that I'm going to have a lot of success and that the things go up and up, you know what I mean? So it was really a good learning experience for me.
You know, it's interesting because I think as terrible as this pandemic it was and is and continues to be, it did give us a lot of opportunity to look at what we have and what people have. And so
I hope parents, all the parents are talking to their kids about it. You know what I mean? I think we had so many people giving just generous tips and, you know, just make people would come and make cards for us. And there was so much kindness extended to us. And I really do hope that they were all talking to their kids about it because it was really powerful. It makes a huge impact.
And that, you know, that is the last question that we were going to ask you that you really mostly covered. But the last part of it was, how are these values that you hold being transferred to your kids by watching you do the work that you do? When we're trying to raise good kids, right? When we say we're trying to raise kids that are going to make a difference and notice things, and they notice that and they do that by seeing that.
Well, I definitely think that we have had so many opportunities in the last several years to talk about injustice. And we've seen so many examples of it. And I feel like we've also had the opportunity to have really great conversations as a family about, you know, what are you supposed to do if you want to be an anti-racist person in a racist world? And there's actually just fantastic resources about that available. So we've been able to find a lot of great resources. And I think that you are providing a great resource to help people with that too. We are all looking for answers to how to do that. You know, how what we wish for our kids and what we know to be true and what we hold as values, I don't think we should assume that they're picking up on it without conversation. I mean, I think that we do. I think it's helpful in our family to draw attention to the choices that we make as a business and to say, for example, we have a lot of conversations about what fair wages mean and about the fact that we pay differently than some other businesses and why we do that and what it has meant to our business to have people work for us for 5 and 6 years in an industry where there's typically, you know, a lot of turnover and stuff. So just like we have those kinds of conversations. And I do hope and think that we are practicing what we preach so that when we offer our thoughts to our kids, I hope they also say, yeah, I can see how you're living that at Bittersweet.
Wow. Michelle, thank you. This has been incredible. Thank you so much for being on with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I had so much fun talking to you both.
Okay, so this is the part where we challenge each other to try something this week and ask our listeners to do it too. So for this week, we're going to ask everyone to give tzedakah.
So does that mean we have to donate money?
It could mean that. Usually when we say tzedakah, we're talking about money, but remember, it also refers to charitable giving that goes towards creating or facilitating justice.
So we could broaden the idea of charity or giving to include time or energy, and it still could be money. I mean, even a tiny bit of money, which is something that might feel more meaningful for kids to drop, you know, some coins towards something.
Absolutely. I think when it comes to kids, anything tangible is really helpful.
So my son has always taken part of his allowance each week and put it in a savings box specifically for a tzedakah. So for my commitment, I will take the money I would have spent on my Starbucks habit this week and put it into his tzedakah box instead.
Oh, I love that, because not only are you putting money towards charity, but you're also helping your son to think about what he's going to do with that charity and give him even more so that he can do more.
I hope that it doesn't mean I'm super cranky from the lack of caffeine, though.
Well, I'll just talk to you in a week from now then.
Okay.
So at our house, we have been talking about, my daughter got really interested in learning about equity and understanding more about specifically in our greater Philadelphia community, what that means. And she's gotten pretty energized about what she can do to help kids of her own age whose schools do not have the same resources that ours do. So she's been thinking about that. And I think it's time that we have a pretty serious conversation about not only how can we help, but what is true help and what will create more justice in this circumstance rather than make us feel better about handing money or pencils over to another school.
And for our listeners, what commitment can you make? We'd love to hear about it. Send us a voice memo at goodkidsbetterworld@gmail.com. Tweet us or tag us on Facebook at Good Kids Better World.
Michelle, thank you so much for being on the podcast today and sharing your stories with us. And if you're local to the Philadelphia area, go eat at Bittersweet in Media, Pennsylvania. Find them at eatatbittersweet.com or at facebook.com/bittersweetkitchenmedia. We'll put that in the information in the show notes too.
And thank you for listening and joining us on our journey to raise good kids who will make a better world. If you like the show, please tell your friends. You can subscribe to our podcast on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Please leave us a review to help more people find us. You can join the conversation on our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/goodkidsbetterworld. And please visit our website for show notes and links at goodkidsbetterworld.com.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.